That's what I think sometimes when I get up here to preach. I was thinking this morning when Brother Ben was telling everybody to close the service that I was going to be preaching tonight, I thought, man, I wish you hadn't done that. A lot of people won't come, but we got a good crowd tonight. Praise God. Praise God. No better place to be on Sunday night in the Lord's house. Praise God. I'm very, very thankful for our church and our church family here. Praise God. We got a wonderful church. Thankful for our pastor, too, and let's be much in prayer for him and his family that they can get some much-needed rest and everything they need it. Praise God. I was thinking a while ago when the young people were singing that Joy Unspeakable. Again, I'm thankful for our young people, too, that was up here. That looks good to see all those young people up here. But that Joy Unspeakable, I remember when I used to go to church as a youngster up there at Coppock Missionary Baptist Church at Nicut, we'd sing that song a lot, and that was one of my favorite songs, especially after I was saved. I really liked it because it's joy unspeakable after you're saved. You know, the Bible says that His Holy Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Praise God. You know, I'm thankful that we have that Holy Spirit to give us joy and peace. And He does wipe away all fear and everything. And I praise God for His Holy Spirit. And I've been thinking a lot about that as Brother Isaac and Brother Ben this morning been bringing these messages here in Acts, thinking about the Apostle Paul and his faithful service to the Lord. You know, a lot of times when I'm studying the Word of God, I always try to get a mental picture of what's going on, you know, in these scriptures and things, you know, and try to understand it as much as I can, you know. I think a lot of times back to when I was in seminary down there at TBI down there in Texas. And one of my teachers in one of my classes said, you don't only look at the scriptures, but you take each word. Every word was put in there, you know. These men of old were moved by the Holy Spirit of God to put these words in there. And then after I left seminary and come home, I thought about how that every word that we find in our Bibles came from the very mind of our God. You know, praise God. Praise God. All right, if you look with me in the book of Acts tonight in chapter 16, and I want to back up there a little bit and look again at some of the last scriptures there that Brother Ben brought out this morning. And if you'll stand with me tonight, we'll begin with verse 19 and read down through 24 and then get into the message tonight. In verse 19, the Bible says, and when her masters, talking about the young lady that they cast the demon out of, saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you, Father, and thank you for the health and the means that we might come together tonight, Father, to worship you and sing praises to you. And Father, just be together as your church, as your children, and as your servants. Father, I do thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father, that we have after we put our faith and trust in you, that your Holy Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are your children. Father, bless tonight. Father, just speak through me. Bring out the things that you want said tonight, nothing more, nothing less. Father, that you get all honor and glory, that your will be done. And Father, I pray that if there's any here tonight that need to draw closer to you or even be saved, Father, that tonight they would trust you as Savior and know, Father, that love, joy, and peace, Father, that only you can give. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen. You may be seated. So many times, as I said a while ago, when I look at these scriptures, and I was thinking this morning as Brother Ben was bringing these out this morning in his last part of his message there, and talking about Paul casting these demon out of this young lady, this devil out of her. A lot of times when I read these things, I think about other places in the Bible where it talks about similar things being done. And I was thinking about the man in the tombs that the Bible speaks of that was bound with chains and all kinds of things, you know. Jesus went to him and cast the demons out of him, you know, and cast the demons into the swine. And they couldn't cope with it. And that's always stood out to me. You know, here this guy was, he had all these demons in him and everything, and cut himself, and he was just a wild man. But then after Jesus cast these demons out, and they cast them into swine, and they ran off the mountain and drowned because they couldn't cope with it. You know, animals couldn't handle that, all those demons and everything like this man did, and he wasn't doing too good a job. But I thought about that this morning when Mother Ben was talking about this young lady. You know, we should never, ever underestimate power of the devil. Now, I know God has power. God has a greater power, yes. But the devil and his demons do too. And that's why we need to stay in close fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So many times when I'm studying the Word of God, my mind goes back, as we was talking about this morning, I remember a lot of things that I've been taught down through the years. Praise God. I was just telling Brother Isaac the other night after one of his messages about talking about the maps that he was showing. I loved that. Boy, that was so interesting when he was having those maps put up there and everything. I loved that. But it brought back a wonderful, blessed, cherished memory. Because I remember a dedicated minister of God, servant of God, that always reminded me of the Apostle Paul when I was growing up in this church. And after I surrendered to the ministry, he was a great, great, great help to me. I had no idea that after I surrendered to the ministry and He'd made such an impression on me right here in front of this pulpit one Sunday morning when I surrendered to the ministry. He happened to be here for us that Sunday morning filling in while we was waiting on our pastor to come on the field. And that Brother Eugene Reagan. Some of you here this tonight may remember him, but he used to come around and fell in at churches around this area when we didn't have a pastor, and or sometimes he would just visit to make sure everything was going good. And he was a lot like Paul, because when any of our churches would have problems, he'd come around and try to help out, you know, try to see if he could help us get things worked out. And I had no idea that when I surrendered to ministry that Sunday morning, that God was going to put me in his back door. Because I pastored there at East Park, there in Stillwell. Siloam was about 15 miles north of there, where Brother Reagan lived, him and his wife up there in Siloam. So, praise God, I was right there where we could visit and everything, you know, ever so often. And I'm very, very thankful for that. But as the scripture says, tonight there, and when the masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, much like they did Jesus, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." Praise God. Praise God. They were dedicated to God, and they wasn't going to let anything stop them from preaching, proclaiming, spreading the Word of God. Amen. They were dedicated. I was thinking this weekend when I talked to Brother Isaac, and he told me what scriptures to study and everything, what Brother Ben would be preaching on, what I'd be preaching on. He asked me if I could follow along there in Acts. I said, "Brother, I've been preaching long enough. I know how to do it, but it's not me. It's God and through the Holy Spirit." Amen. But these were dedicated men of God, just like Jesus. They had a purpose. They wasn't going to flee. They wasn't going to quit, as so many do. They let these magistrates, as the Bible says, take them, bring them into the main part of the city. It says a marketplace. And if you've ever seen movies or pictures of Jerusalem, that was where they came to sell all their goods and everything. And anyway, they brought them there and to kind of hold a mock trial, I guess, in my way of looking at it, kind of like they did Jesus. And when they had, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them, kind of like they did Jesus. I watched a movie not long ago, me and Sister Mabel, about the crucifixion of Jesus when they took him prisoner in the garden. Peter cut off the ear of the Roman soldier, and Jesus picked it up, put it back on, told Peter to put his sword up. Judas came up and kissed him. They took Jesus and had a mock trial, and then they had him beat, they had him scorched. Only I think it was a lot worse than what Paul and Silas received. But yet he did it out of faithful obedience to God the Father. And I believe that's why these two men withstood the same thing. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Now look at that. We talked a little bit about how that these servants of the ruler during this time period, these soldiers and different ones that were ordered to carry out different things, let's say, if they didn't do exactly what they were told to do, there was some dire consequences, amen? And we were talking about here a while back that probably the way they were so wicked and everything back in this time, that if they didn't do what they were supposed to do, or they didn't, you know, keep these prisoners secure, they could lose their head. You know, it was bad news back then. And then, too, I was thinking about and looking at these and how that we don't comprehend so many times as we look at these scriptures how bad it was when they were cast into prison or jail, however you want to put it. Look at verse 24, who having received such a charge or command by these rulers, thrust them into the inner prison. Now think about this. I don't know how many here tonight have seen the old movies when they had the dungeons and jails and things, but I've seen a lot of them. And I thought about how that they were thrown in there and made their feet fast in the stocks that Brother Ben brought out this morning. And I was reading a commentary on that this past week. And the commentator was saying that when they would take these prisoners and put their feet and legs in these stocks, it was like some of the old beams and things that we saw in some of the old movies where they had them standing out in the town square or the marketplace. And they'd have their hands in there and also their head in these stocks. But this commentator was talking about that when they were put in there, they wasn't only bound with chains and fetters, as some of the scriptures calls it, but their feet was put in these stocks. And they were immobile. They couldn't move. And that's bad enough in itself. Amen? I thought, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I thought, you know, if these men had health problems like I do, and being immobile for as long as they probably was, I sure wouldn't be singing praises to God. I'd be crying out, let me out of here. I'd be in agony. Because I know a lot of times I've got a bad habit of sitting at my desk or sitting in a recliner in the living room, get all propped back, and I've made me some little lap desk. One of my hobbies is to find some pieces of wood, cut them a certain size, and I cover them with anything I can find to cover them with, old rags or shelf paper or whatever. I've made Mabel some, made me I don't know how many. And it's really handy to put those up in your lap and have your Bible, your notepad and everything. But so many times I get so interested in studying the Bible and everything that I sit there too long. And then I have to get up and move around. It ain't too easy, amen? Some of you here tonight know what I'm talking about. That's got back trouble like I do. When you get up and go to move around, you've sat there probably for a couple of hours. It's not easy. Your old back will talk to you, and it don't talk to you good. And it lets you know it. But I thought about that as the commentator was talking about them stocks that they were put in. And then, too, these prisons that they were put in, they were put, it says, in the inner prison. And I was looking at that inner prison. I was thinking they was put back there, probably so far back in there, you know, that really the other prisoners, as the scripture says, and the jailer was the only one that could hear them singing. They were so far back in this dungeon, back in there with the rats and no telling what. And they didn't have it easy. But yet, as verse 25 says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now look at that scripture with me, brothers and sisters. I am a firm believer in prayer. I have told our pastor, I think I've even told Brother Ben, and shared with so many here in this church and other places too. Prayer is the greatest weapon a child of God has against the devil. I think about what the Apostle Paul said. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, our arch enemy, the devil, walketh about seeking those he may devour. And I've seen him devour so many. Amen? I've never understood, and I've talked to a lot of my elders, Brother Reagan and others that I can't remember their names, and probably Brother Lee Storms, who was a good friend of mine. But he's with the Lord now. How that somebody, an individual, who could say that they've been born again, they have put their faith and trust and everything in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then turn around and leave him. Go into a different quote-unquote religion. I've never understood that. But I can think of three preacher brothers that turned their backs from God and went into something else. You know, I thought, How can you do that? How can you do that? I look at these men in the Bible, like Paul and Silas and so many others. You know, we've been studying in our Sunday school lesson on Sunday morning about Moses, Joshua, and others. But talk about dedicated men of God, I think about Joshua. And his dedication to God and obeying him. I remember we can find the scriptures over there if you look, where he said, you know, after God told him, be courageous and don't fear and do what I've commanded you to do. And he said, as for me and my house, we will serve God. You know, I've got convicted myself personally about that. Because I'm not able to do a lot of things that I used to do for the Lord. And it bothers me. It convicts me. But here these men were in these stocks. As it says, they're fast. Their feet fast in the stocks. And they were probably chained to the wall. And they couldn't move around. But yet they had so much faith and belief in God that they prayed and sang praises. And God heard them. So many times when I think about prayer, I think about the times that so many of my loved ones, Mabel's loved ones, others have called on people for prayer. And I remember our church at East Park sent out letters asking our sister churches in Oklahoma and Arkansas to pray for Brother David Licklider's daughter. He used to be the pastor at Tahlequah. Me and him got to be good friends when I was pastor in East Park. And his daughter had a brain tumor. And they said it was going to be a very, very serious operation. She could even die while they was doing the surgery. So we began to pray and send out letters. And there was multitudes of people praying. God took that tumor away. She never has had some brain surgery. And then I've thought so many times as I think about prayer. Sister Iva, she had one brain surgery before me and Mabel got married. She was going to have another. She was in the hospital. They were already prepping her for surgery. Granny Capehart said she ain't going to have that surgery. No way. And there was a lot of people praying. But I never will forget Granny Capehart. She ain't going to have that surgery. And the doctor said, we're gonna do one more x-ray or MRI, whatever they called it, CAT scan or something. And they checked her out. That tumor had went down to the size of a large marble. And the doctor said, if God can take that thing down to the size of a marble, he can do away with it, and I'm not going to do surgery. Praise God. Praise God. I'm so thankful that we have such a powerful God. Amen. You know, he can turn it around. if we put our faith and trust in Him. And I thought about that so many times as I've read over this so many times. Paul and Silas in prison, bound, and they prayed. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. God removed the stocks. God set them free. Brother Ben, I was thinking, when I was reading this, my mind also went to the message our pastor brought not too long ago about Peter. Remember when he was in prison, the church was praying that God would set him free? It's kind of a comical story in a way, because God did. God set him free. He walked out without anybody knowing it. And here they were praying behind locked doors because they're scared to death. And they were praying, supposed to be with faith, that God would set him free. And old Peter knocks on the door. And the man looks out and, this can't be. How many times have you heard children of God praying for something and God blesses, puts it right there? Ah, this can't be. Or like so many, I'm going to confess tonight. So many times my own wife has said, ask God. You have not because you ask not. That's her favorite saying. She's too much like her Granny Capehart. You have not because you ask not, or because you ask amiss. You don't ask in faith. And they were praying, God set Peter free. And he knocks on the door. No, it can't be him. But they prayed and they sang praises to God. They were believing. And God brought the earthquake. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled, because now, like I said a while ago, he knew that if the king or ruler, whoever it was, found out that these prisoners had escaped, he was going to be held accountable. And like I said, he could lose his head. They didn't mess around. If you didn't do what you were supposed to do, you was going to be held accountable. And it wasn't going to be good. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. He didn't run. They didn't run. God had a purpose. Anybody here tonight believe in luck? I don't. Anybody here believe in accident? No. Chance? No. Things happen because God allows it to happen. Amen. Or God makes it to happen. It's according to His plan. I love that scripture we find in the Bible. God's not the author of confusion. God's not the author of chaos, the devil is. These men were in prison because the stupid religious leaders would not listen. just like a lot of people today want us. It's sad. It's like me and Brother Steve's talked about so many times, as well as me and others. But it's sad. It's horrible. The things that people are jumping over and crawling over, that God has put out there to keep man from going to hell. But they won't pay attention. They won't listen. So many won't listen. And they wind up in hell. So many don't realize how fast death can come. How quick your life can be over. I was sitting there this morning thinking, when Brother Ben was getting ready to bring the invitation, the day that they had to rush me to Mercy. And I was planning on coming home. Had things I was thinking about. Well, I'm going to do this evening. I'm going to do that. But it didn't work out. They had to rush me to Mercy. Had to cut my shirt off. Hear that doctor come with that big old needle, was going to stick it in my chest. I said, no. He did. Next thing I knew, I was on the ceiling looking at myself on that stretcher. My life was about to come to an end. You can be here today and wake up tomorrow seeing Jesus. We don't know. We don't know. And then I remember when Sister Mabel was in the hospital over at Mercy. They ran her blood pressure down too quick, and I was there. Me and Don Ray was there. And they had to call Code Blue. Nurse was slapping her. Come back, come back, come back, come back. I was out in the hall. They wouldn't let me in there. Don Ray was out in the courtyard praying. I was praying. They didn't think she was going to make it. There she is. Praise God. God can do all things. Amen. He set Peter free. He set Paul and Silas free. The others free. The jailer called for a light, sprang in, came trembling. And fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Praise God. Look at that. And they spake unto him, they proclaimed unto him, they preached unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. the words of life. This man was saved in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Look at that. I looked at that and I thought about so many years ago when I was saved. When I accepted Jesus as my Savior at Coptic Missionary Baptist Church, on a Friday night of a week-long revival, boy, I jumped up from that altar. I run to Brother Peyton, my pastor. I said, I want to be baptized. I was brought up, you know, I was trained. When you're saved, you get baptized. You take that next step up the ladder. And then you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. You draw closer to God. He said, Terry, it stormed. I said, I don't care. He said, the creek's muddy. I said, I don't care. So next Sunday, I was baptized in a muddy creek. Praise God. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. I love this verse 34. And when he had brought them into his house, brought them out of the prison, doctored them up, took care of them. That's love. That's compassion. Set meat before them and rejoiced. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. He didn't say, get on down the road. Run them off. I ain't got time to mess with you. He doctored them. I look at this and think about a full-blood Cherokee grandmother who doctored a lot of people, who brought this 68-year-old man into the world right there in her living room in Nycutt, Oklahoma, USA. Sixty-eight years ago. I asked my mama, I remember when I was in elementary school, I said, where was I born? She said, over at your granny's house. I said, what do I tell my teacher? That you fell out at the bottom of Duty Hill. That's what she said. So that's what I did. But that ain't what they put on the papers. Praise God. Took them in, set meat before them, and rejoiced. Believing in God with all his house. I'm going to close there tonight as we prepare for a song of invitation. Folks, we're living in some desperate times. We're living in some times I thought I'd never see come to pass. But there's one thing that bothers me so much is how things have changed. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's real good. Other things ain't too good. It's sad, but God Almighty told us right here in His Word. In the last days, the love of men will wax cold. You know, I was brought up at a time in the generation when people who wasn't saved respected those that was, respected the church, and would have done just like that Philippian jailer, even though they wasn't saved. I've been in their house. I've been at their table. And you don't use biscuits. I mean, somewhere you use biscuits. Stop up that food. That's the Indian way, ain't it, Sister Carol? That's a good way. Good old days when people loved one another. Where's the love? Where's the love? Nowadays we got people, they look you in the face. Don't turn around, they got a knife in you. Where's the love? We need people that'll stand up, that will pray, sing praises to God, and believe He's real. He's looking down right now. He is real as you and me. You're looking at me. He's looking at me. And He's looking at you. Do you believe tonight as we stand and sing what number?
Page 544.
There's a need tonight. Would you come?